Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Bob, Aaron Rodgers did not practice yesterday for the Steelers with his left wrist injury. We'll see if that changes in a matter of a few hours today. Darius Slay with a concussion, though, was a full participant in practice. Jaylen Warren didn't go with an ankle. Alex Highsmith of the PEC not able to go as well. Keyshawn Williams, the punt and kick returner, was limited with a concussion. A couple of Steelers had a Wednesday Veterans Day off. T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward back on that schedule after a couple weeks ago practicing on a Wednesday. Bears also with a very lengthy injury report. Starters like Tremaine Edmonds at linebacker, Jaquan Brisker at safety, Kevin Byard at safety all did not practice. Byard was just resting, but multiple other guys were out, or at least limited, including DeAndre Swift. More headlines, 93.7thefan.com. Headlines there, powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same thing.
Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity. That's in Crinkuland.
Bob, that might be one of the best introductions that we have.
That was a good one.
And a big reason why is because of Joe and his sounds that he likes to make and saying in crinkulant.
Yesterday was an all-time Yelp, or 2 days ago, whatever it was. It was one of the loudest and also highest pitched I think I've ever heard.
For me, it's the second part of the Yelp.
Yeah, it is.
That really suckers you in. Okay, Bob, so LC Greenwood is a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. He is in the seniors category. So I know we talked previously when he was brought up as in the last round of finalists, but now being a semifinalist, potentially moving to a finalist, will LC Greenwood, in your mind, ever get into the Hall of Fame?
He should. To me, he should have been in already, but you know, that's one of those Steeler fatigue situations. With all those guys from that dynasty run of the 70s, everyone had a tremendous role in that success, and he was one of them on their steel curtain defense. And for whatever reason, he's been overlooked that way. So this will be an opportunity for him, and I hope he gets it. Not only LC Green was a tremendous player, but he was really a tremendous guy if you got to know him a little bit before he passed away. But, man, yes, I think he should be. Again, I've made a case for Andy Russell over the years. I think he's not even on this ballot, but he's another guy. He was a big part of what they did in the middle of their defense.
He made 6 Pro Bowls, 2 All Pros, and that's when the Pro Bowl like really meant something back then compared to now. He's in the Hall of Fame All 1970s team. He was just a consistent force for this
and
team.
And he did that even though guys like Joe Green were on that defense, guys like Mel Blunt were on that defense, guys like Jack Lambert were on the defense.
Yeah.
And you still, you know, because he gets overlooked at times, doesn't mean he's not worthy.
And he had 78 sacks. And one thing that people have to also remember is the limited amount of games that he played as well. Yeah. I mean, most of the time, wasn't the NFL schedule 14 games?
14 games, right.
Right.
So, do you believe back then they had 6 preseason games? Think about that.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
if you go back 6 preseason games?
6. Yep. A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's always been 20 actual games. They've just changed the preseason games.
Yeah, but it was
I'm sure a lot of guys
different
didn't play.
It went to 14, then to 16, now to 17. Soon it'll be 20.
Soon it'll be 18.
It'll be 20. I bet you within 5 years.
Really?
6 years.
I mean,
18's coming.
Right, 18 will be here.
They're just going to devalue, which they already have done in some of these preseason games, but I think that the fight is the coaches like to have those preseason games. We'll see.
I think that they at least need to have one. There at least needs to be one preseason game. I would be okay if there's two.
The only thing is that you get a chance to see some of these guys who aren't number one picks. Many of them don't even play, so you do get an evaluation opportunity that you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different than other sports where you're not fighting for as many roster spots on the NBA, or spring training is so long, they're never going to shrink it. The NHL, you can, in a way, be able to clinch a spot. But the NFL, for undrafted guys, for sixth or seventh round picks, yeah, they're trying to make rosters. It's very important, and we've severely devalued that. Not we, but the NFL has.
And that's why you also have sloppy play, I think, at the beginning of the season. Because a lot of guys don't even get going until three, four games into it.
Bob, I thought that this was funny. Drake May responded to Cam Newton calling the Patriots fool's gold, where Drake May said, "I don't even know what show he's on. I think they get paid to make ... certain comments," is what he said, but just that's how it was written. To where Stephen A. Smith said that Drake May is a liar and that First Take is the number one morning show. He said, "Don't tell me you an athlete and you don't know that Cam Newton is on this show. You lying."
What is going on here with this
Patriots beat?
This is first of all, they're not fool's gold. I watch enough of their games. I'm sure you have too. They are a good football team. You know, not a lot of people expect them to be this way right off the bat, but I think Mike Vrabel's made his point, brought in people he's want, and Drake May has definitely developed from last year to where he is now. So we'll see at the end of it if they do well in the playoffs or not. But they're going to be a playoff team. Whether or not they win that division or not still remains to be seen.
Yeah, they're definitely not fool's gold. Their games that they've lost this year are what, the Raiders, where it was week one, and we can give you a pass. And the Steelers, where they turned the ball over five times.
And that could have been totally a win for them.
Right. So
been not so careless.
Their defense was so poor last year, and their offense had no weapons. And I still don't think their offense has great weapons, but they were able to find enough with Hunter Henry staying and Diggs coming in and Josh McDaniels back for the 13th time as offensive coordinator, plus Vrabel bringing a new culture. That can really change things in football. So I think that's fascinating. And no, it is indeed not fool's gold, and that's a Patriot-on-Patriot crime.
Yeah, I don't know why Stephen A. Smith has to get involved in that. Who cares? Whether or not you watch it or don't watch it or pretend you don't know or do know, who cares? I mean, I don't understand why. And maybe he doesn't watch that stuff. You know, maybe he's too busy. A lot of guys don't watch a lot of things that you assume that you would.
Well, Drake May, don't you think that he is more focused on, I don't know, film study and practice and team meetings and watching that show?
Most of these guys are in very early and they stay very late. They're not tuning into television.
There's no way that Drake May is just naturally turning. I don't think he's the type of guy that's turning on the TV to see, okay, what are they talking about me today? I'm sure there are some players that are like that. Kevin Durant is, you know, known for interacting with people on social media and calling out others. You know that, Bob, but I don't see Drake May as that type of person.
I don't either.
All right, Aaron Rodgers, Bob. This is from Brooke Pryor. He really likes beating up on the Bears, which makes me even think even more he's going to play.
There's incentive for every opponent, but I have enjoyed many a Sunday and Monday and many Thursdays in that city. It's a great sports town, phenomenal sports fans, and great place to play.
Aaron, do you sort of thrive off of being the villain there a little bit? You sort of enjoy that aspect?
I'd rather not be. I mean, I'm not in Green Bay anymore. I feel like we can let bygones be bygones. Maybe I can, I guess. It's a great rivalry. I mean, in the history of all sports, you talk about the Lakers and the Celtics and the Red Sox and the Yankees. You got to talk about the Packers and the Bears. And there's been some great memories there. When I first got to Green Bay, the Bears had the all-time series lead. When I left, the Packers did. Since Jay Love has taken over, it's even gotten better. But I hope those fans can put that behind them. I'm sure they can. I really enjoy the city. They got great sportsmen. I grew up watching WGN on my five-channel TV back in the day, so I was a Cubs fan and a Bulls fan. How can you not be a Bulls fan unless you don't like Michael Jordan? I did. I loved them. So it was a lot of fun memories over the years playing there.
Aaron Rodgers grew up in the late 90s. They only had five channels then, Bob?
Yeah, it took a while to get all these different cable stations to come into play. I don't think, depending on what 90s he's talking about, early in the 90s that may have been the case. After mid to late, it changed. But the point is, he's pretty engaged in history of all sports. We found that to be true with all these interviews he's done. But I don't think they're going to be bygones. They don't like him. Just the way that whole thing played out with discount double check and all the stuff that he used to do with the belt and rubbing it in. But I do think he loves that kind of position to be in. He may not say that, but I think he loves that.
Yeah, there's no doubt this means something to Rodgers. You could tell how much it meant to him to stick it to the Jets. It's a similar situation. It's a different type of situation, but he is definitely going to want to go out there, tell the Bears fans that he owns them again, and right the ship of what's been six bad quarters for him and get this offense back on track. They look pretty good with those two series that Mason was under control of. Two long drives of over 7 minutes and a six-minute drive on those last two, not counting the kneel down.
You know, I know Chris Hoke is bullish on, and I like. I would like to see what happens down the road if Mason Rudolph ever got a legitimate chance at the beginning of the season, say, okay, here are your keys. This is the car. You drive. Tell us where we're going to go and how we'll go. I still find that intriguing. It may not happen, but I find it intriguing. All right. We have Wanda waiting for a long time. I feel bad about that, so we're going to go to Wanda right now to find out what she has to say. Hey, Wanda.
Hey, hi, Pump. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Not much. I know you don't like when women call in, probably because you don't know a whole lot. But
I like when women call in. Most of our post-game show on TV, there are a lot of women call in. Angela from B-Shoes is one of the best.
I know they are. Well, to answer that lady that called in about taking nutting out, tell her I will go half with the dinner, and maybe two women can talk him into taking him out to dinner, can talk him into spending some money
there. What you can do is maybe confiscate, get a couple of martinis in him, confiscate his wallet and his credit card, and then go and call these agents and say, hey, I'm representing Bob Nutting. Here's a credit card. This is what we want.
That's right. But I just want to say we love the Pirates. We watch every game. And we've even been to spring training a few times. So I really hope they get it together. And I just wanted to say also that I enjoy the Steelers. And we're very fortunate to have a great quarterback and a backup quarterback like Mason. So I'm enjoying that. And I enjoy your show. The Pump and Joe show is my favorite. I listen to it every day. And I'd like to give a shout out to Will Graves while I'm on here.
You're Wanda.
I'm Wanda.
You're the Wanda.
I'm the Wanda.
On the showdown, when Will's on, he goes, shout out Wanda. He always makes a point to say shout out Wanda at some point.
Oh, nice. There you go, Wanda. Now you're shouting out Will.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I didn't
Wanda.
Know if you know that, but
no, I didn't know. When I saw Wanda, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I watch your every Sunday night, faithfully watch that show. And when Will and Mark Gaboli are on there, that's like my favorite team. And it's just, I really enjoy it. So,
all right,
Wanda. I just wanted to give it a little shout out.
Shout out to Wanda. That's what he always says. We're glad you called. Appreciate it. And thanks for watching and listening.
I'm doing my shout out to Will. Okay.
Right. It's not a joke.
She's serious
about that.
She's very serious about loving Kabali, too.
Yeah, I want to ask you this now. I asked this as a tease coming into this hour. The next several games on the schedule, I want you to tell me what you think the Steelers. Currently, the Steelers are 6-4. Currently, the Ravens have won 4 in a row. They're 5-5. So the Steelers have the Bears. They're underdogs this week. Then they come home to the Bills. The Bills are going to play tonight, which means they're going to have 10 days to prepare for that game. And then the Steelers have the Ravens. Also, a situation where the Ravens are going to have 10 days to prepare because they will play on Thanksgiving night against the Bengals. And this is what Baltimore has. The Jets at home, Cincinnati at home, the Steelers at home. So 3 weeks from now, what would the records be?
Oh, boy. Well, Bob, do you want to do the schedule game and just go one by one, each team each week?
Yes, Bears this week, Steelers, Jets, Ravens.
I think the Steelers will beat the Bears, but I think that they will lose to the Bills, and that game is at the Ravens, correct?
Correct.
I think that they will lose at the Ravens. So I think that they will be 7-6 at that time.
All right.
So the Ravens play
Jets, Cincy, and Steelers
going
home.
They're beating the Jets. They're probably going to beat Cincinnati, and I have them beating the Steelers.
So they're 8-5.
So they will be 8-5, and the Steelers will be 7-6. So they will pass the Steelers up at that point.
Then it's interesting because the Ravens have to go to the Packers.
I think they will lose that game.
The Patriots have to play them in Baltimore.
I think they will lose that game.
And that's interesting how it goes.
It's going to come down to that final game of the year, Bob.
The two that was Steelers, my point for all of this. Those two head-to-head games are going to determine who wins, and I am of the belief that only one team will represent the AFC North in the playoffs. I know Joe thinks differently, but I really believe that that's how it's going to be, and the head-to-head banging is going to determine a lot of this. All right. We got Steven on the line now in Monroeville. Steven, go right ahead. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just back to the Pirates, I guess. What do you guys think the chances are McCutcheon doesn't actually re-sign? And follow up, if he doesn't re-sign for PR's sake, because Bob Nutting's all about PR, what do you think the chances are that they overpay for Starling Marte for fan service?
I don't think they need to overpay for Marte. He's not going to cost much. He's, 37 now and doesn't have the same speed.
But if I'm looking at DH, my sights are on a legitimate DH. And I say that with no disrespect for Andrew McCutcheon, but he hit .239 last year. His power production's not something that you would want out of a designated hitter. I want someone who's going to drive in 100 runs if I can, hit big home runs. So if you get that person, then there really is no role for Andrew McCutcheon, is there?
I have no problem.
Put him on the bench?
I have no problem bringing him back. I hope that they do bring him back for one more year.
What does he have to offer in terms of the leadership and the – the stature that he has in the organization, that'll never change.
If it's a decreased role and he's okay with that, and that also means that you're signing a left fielder, you're trading for a left fielder, you're also bringing in a third baseman, and you do actually think that Connor Griffin will be here by mid-May or the very beginning of June, where you could also sign somebody to be a utility type of player for you that could bounce around between the middle infield, that could start at shortstop, kind of like an IKF, that is just a placeholder for Connor Griffin until he gets here.
I don't think he needs a placeholder. I think he needs to be here. I would just.
I'm entirely fine with
McCutcheon,
that.
I think that $5 million that people know he signs for every year, basically, I think people are putting that number so much in their head. I think if McCutcheon sees the Pirates making any initiative to sign anybody that would have production, I think he would take even less money than $5 million.
But he doesn't play the field. That's my point. Where would you play him? Is he just a pinch hitter?
He'd have to be the DH, and he would have to.
Right, but I want a better DH. Again, no disrespect for him. I just want a better DH.
What if he's the DH 4 out of 7 games, and Brian Reynolds is the DH for 2, and O'Neill Cruz is the DH for 1, and you just rotate it around, and McCutcheon ends up playing about 65% of the time?
So you don't have a legitimate DH, is what you're saying.
Correct. But you would add somebody in left field, you would add somebody at third base, and you can even add somebody at first or at shortstop so that it mitigates that. Because I still think McCutcheon is a solid hitter. He just cannot be batting second or third or, fifth anymore. He's got to be batting seventh or eighth, and I think he brings some value.
I think his future will depend on what they do in free agency.
Would you start Marte in left?
I don't want Marte.
I want better than that.
I don't want Marte.
I like Marte, but, he would have to be somebody who plays in a platoon role.
Yeah, I'm tired of platoon. They have a lot of platoon. Every position is a platoon position. They need to find people, and I'd like to get them to a point, which this is a stretch, but like Atlanta's lineup, even though they had a bad year, you knew Atlanta's lineup top to bottom, and it didn't change. And you knew guys had roles, and they knew what their roles were. Every day, if you have platoon players at third, at first, at left and right, okay, fine. You have all these different potential lineups, but to me, I want consistency, and I want people who know where they bat every day for the most part. But I don't think we're going to get there.
Well, at least we have Jack Sawinski, right?
Yeah. Jack Sawinski.
They
didn't DFA.
He's still on the roster.
So they had a lot of guys DFA. Colin Holderman,
Dari Moretta.
And I'm surprised about Dari Moretta, aren't you?
Somewhat, yeah.
The heart and soul of Pittsburgh.
I don't understand with Moretta. They could have kept him as – he's a high strikeout guy. Sure, there's some walks, but – why not even bring him into spring training? It's not like he's really going to cost anything in arbitration.
Don't know. All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. We'll see. Christmas is coming. There could be some presents under your tree, and we'll find out if you unwrapped a Kyle Schwarber or you unwrap maybe a Pete Alonso.
Your parents are really spending some extra money there, Bob.
Hey, at this point, you got to do it. I think you have to. With Paul Skeens around, if there was no Paul Skeens and they had just an average pitching staff, they can get away with doing what they've done. But I think now the urgency goes up.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back with more as we round third, head home, and going right through Joey Cora, or Goey, whatever you want to call him. We are almost done with this program, but we also will be speaking with Jeff Hathorn here momentarily. He's on the road doing Pitt basketball tonight as they take on UCF down in Florida. He'll be a busy man because he then heads to Chicago, I know, after that, for the Bears and Steelers. And we'll be interested to see exactly what happens in Sunday in that game. And for me, that's going to be a tight game. Both these teams do the same thing well, which is they take the ball away when they win. The defense in Chicago has 22 takeaways. Kevin Byard has 5 of those interceptions. You might remember Trumaine Edwards. He's on that team. 4 interceptions. Ben Johnson, in his first year head coach, got off to a rocky start, and some people were having rash decisions when they went 0-2, but they've rebounded. Now they're 7-3, and they're getting a lot of production out of DeAndre Swift and Manungai, their 7th-round pick out of Rutgers, is a 1-2 back combination. You know, in Detroit, he had Gibbs and Montgomery and used them both, and they still do that there with Dan Campbell. But Ben Johnson is trying to do the same thing over there with their 2-back system. As far as the tight end, Colston Loveland, he was a guy that was taken after Tyler, or before Tyler Warren, I think it was, in the draft. And he's a guy who's really come on. He had that big touchdown at the end of the game to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They have DJ Moore. They have Rome Odunze, who was a big pick for them in the draft. He has 6 touchdowns this year, and it all starts with Caleb Williams, who has the mobility that can make things difficult on any defense, especially one that comes after the quarterback, as much as the Steelers like to do when they blitz. But he's been careful with the football. Only interception 4 times this season. He has 13 touchdowns. So now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Hawk Report with Jeff Hathorn, brought to you by the 5.5% Home Equity Loan Special this month at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Hello, Jeff, and I know you're busy getting ready for a basketball game tonight. How's it going down there in FLA?
It's good. It's good. I want to know this, and I think some people with Pitt want to know this too. Do you have a cardboard cutout of Starkey that you put in the other chair?
That's a great question.
We should, shouldn't we?
We should.
There is none, but we should get one.
Or should we should put both Bobs in the chairs? The Bob cardboard cutout and actual Bob.
No, that would be a little bit too confusing for me.
Yes.
We got to get one made, though, no doubt.
Now, I think there was a Fathead of Joe that was made. You know, one you'd have behind a basketball hoop trying to get somebody to miss. So maybe you just need to figure out where that went. If, yeah, as long as we didn't auction it off or something.
I know there was a Kaboli one at the McAfee show. So
there was.
Yeah, so.
But, and Mark was the one holding it.
Yeah.
That's what made it weird.
That's very good. So so Austin, in his conniving self, has just put my thing over there, so we're going to have split screens here.
We have Bob and Bob on the screen.
See what you started, Jeff? That's too much me over here.
I'm sorry, Bob. I was trying to give you help you with the solid, and it just backfired.
Well, listen, I want to talk about Pitt, and you know, I saw the game against West Virginia, which was not a good game. What is Pitt going to be like this year? You know, you've seen 4 games now, 5 games, whatever it is. What's your take on where they will fit in the ACC in basketball?
Yeah, it's a weird year in the ACC because we've already seen a number of upsets. I mean, Duke's really good. Beyond that, I mean, I think Louisville's good. Carolina's got talent, but it, like, there isn't anybody that just jumps off besides Duke of like, oh man, these are good teams. And that's why I think if Pitt could win some of the close games they lost last year, I think they can, you know, get around 20 wins, but they're going to have to do it. And what Jeff's kind of doing this year is kind of like a Jamie Dixon type team where they're relying on their defense. Their offense is going to come off their defense. They don't have that shooter. They don't have a Blake Hinson on their roster right now. They're going to have to get it done on the defensive end. They did not do that against West Virginia. They did do it against Bucknell, and they do feel good about the rebound they had against Bucknell. But, Bob, they're facing a team in UCF tonight that shoots 48% from three as a team.
Yeah. No, I know. They got to tighten that part of it up. Yep. All right.
And Johnny Dawkins is the head coach, so that's someone I know you know of, and sure, he's been in multiple NCAA tournaments. So this should be a fun game tonight at 7.
Yeah, and you'll have it along with Curtis Aiken. Looking forward to that. And then I know you do a lot of volleyball, and then you have the Steelers coming on. But I want to talk about first, before we get to that, Pitt plays obviously the biggest game of the year coming up for them, given what happened last week. But these next two matter. And even if they win two, they're not necessarily guaranteed of being in that ACC championship game. But do you think they will beat Georgia Tech and set up a home game against Miami? At least that would be fun with those two teams at the end of the year on November the 29th.
What I like is the fact that Pitt's still got a really good – I know Jeremiah Love had that 56-yard run, but Pitt has a good rushing defense, and that's what Georgia Tech does. That's their strength, and they do it with their quarterback more than anybody. I mean, Haynes King has over 100 yards – or 800 yards rushing himself. If they can limit that, I think they've got – I mean, I feel good about their chances. They bounced back well after the two losses earlier. You don't get a sense. I was over there yesterday. You didn't get a sense that it was really bothering them what was going on, what happened at Notre Dame, that they were going to be able to move away from it. So hopefully that's the case, but we'll find out more on Saturday.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tight. Virginia has a big game left. I believe they have one. Georgia Tech, even after Pitt, has Georgia. I don't know how that plays in this whole equation. But SMU's the team that really, I think, at this point is sitting there in a pretty good position, right?
Yeah, and, you know, that's what stinks about these huge conferences. Everybody should play everybody. I mean that not just for the ACC, but every conference. So you've got these teams that don't play each other, that one of them could get hosed because, well, we didn't play this team, but – you know, they may have had what turned out to be an easier record. So, yes, you're right. But, and I mean, what if it would be Pitt and Virginia in the ACC title game? Like, who had that as a bet at the beginning of the year that's going to win a crazy amount of money? Because nobody would have had that matchup for an ACC title.
No, I totally agree. Austin, I know you wouldn't have. I mean, we tend to look at the blue bloods of each conference and say, okay, you know, Clemson, and they had a quarterback who everyone was touting as a guy who's going to be perhaps top five pick, and that hasn't – Klubnik has not been very good, and they have not been very good.
No, Miami was a top five team right around the start of the year as well, right in that range. And
Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State.
You know, they go in and beat Alabama, and everybody's, okay, Florida State is back, and they're the worst team in the conference, arguably.
Yeah, all that is up in the air right now as we looked at these college playoff rankings, and – Pitt fell out of the top 25, so they got a lot of digging out to do.
Does Belichick and North Carolina have any chance to make the ACC championship game, Jeff?
No. And what a shame that is. I wonder if they win their like senior day, does Belichick's girlfriend like get balloons
does she
in
walk?
The press conference
is she a senior?
Again?
I don't know. Is she still in school? What is it?
Do you imagine Bill just walking out there for senior day? He's shaking the parents and the players' hands, and then he has to immediately go into the line to walk.
Weird thing.
Oh, is this your granddaughter? No, it's my girlfriend.
It's my girlfriend, yeah. Oh. Interesting how that all developed. Anyway, let's talk about Bears and Steelers, because the whole thing comes down to Rodgers. I don't know if he's practicing today. I doubt it he would. I think he will tomorrow, and I think that's the big game to practice. But what's your gut tell you about that availability with him?
You know, I want to say my feeling right now, it's about 60% he will play. I mean, I'm going to take him and Tomlin at their words. If like they're trying to figure out if they can find a brace that when he falls will protect him. And I think that's the biggest question. If they go out and rush this and he's not quite sure and he gets knocked down and he puts his hand in the ground or he gets hit on the hand, I mean, it can make it a really significant injury, or they could wait just a little bit longer. And I really think it's going to depend on what happens, how they can simulate that action. He'll probably take a few snaps, not that he wouldn't necessarily need to under center in the game on Sunday, but just to see where that is and if he can play through that, because you said it's not pain tolerance, and I'll take him at his word for that. It's about making sure that he's protected from making this worse. And I think that's the biggest question. I don't know that anybody has the answer to that right now.
How big of a drop-off do you think it would be, Jeff, if Mason does end up needing to start?
You know, if we see not trying to be Superman Mason, taking the checkdowns, you know, getting the receivers in stride like he did in that second half to allow yak to happen, I don't know that the drop-off from what we've seen in the last couple of games will be that significant from the Steelers' offense. Not like we saw it against the Jets when they were really clicking in that first game of the season. But I don't think it would be any worse than what we've seen the last couple of games. I think Mason, when he, you know, think about that Baltimore game where they won 17-10 a couple of years ago. He just did what they needed him to do. That Mason can win you a couple of games. And that's why you sign a guy like that. And I do have confidence that he could win you a game or two, or if needed, three, but I don't think Rodgers would be out that long if he misses on Sunday.
No, I think Mason is fully capable, and Chris Hogan and I were discussing this earlier about Chris believes he can run as a starter from the beginning of the season and run an offense the way he needs to. I don't know if he'll ever get that chance here, but if he did, I'd be very interested to see how it worked out. What about Caleb Williams, guy who's been very, very good about protecting the football, yet he's making big plays? You got Ben Johnson using him as a receiver at times. He's caught a touchdown pass already this year. That's a tough guy to try to contain, especially if you come after him and he spins away from you, and that's where damage can occur.
Yeah, his legs are elite. And, you know, last year he didn't turn the ball over much at all in his rookie year. But to what your point is, they're taking more chances with him now, and he's still not turning it over. He seems to make good decisions. He's not all there yet as a quarterback. I think Swift, to me, is the guy. If Swift gets going, that makes things so much easier. I mean, they have options, other options at running back, but Swift, to me, is the guy. You mentioned Adunze. I mean, Rum he can be a difference maker for them, but he's not their only target. Like, I think their overall depth, say, is better than the Steelers. They don't have a DK Metcalf type, but I think he's got options. And when you have options, you make good decisions, you got to figure one of those guys is going to get open, and he's done a nice job of distributing the ball. Now, all that being said, they're looking at the Steelers from my understanding of like one of their big tests of the year. Like, they haven't really been tested like they will this week. So how does Caleb step up in this type of moment? And you mentioned Chicago. Man, I want Aaron to play because I want to hear what that crowd's going to be like, because it will be off the charts in the decibel level of Aaron Rodgers walking back into that stadium under center or in the shotgun again.
Man, that would be fascinating. The other thing is, Jeff, the injuries to Alex Highsmith, Jaylen Warren, especially Highsmith, I wonder, when he does come back, should they basically flip what the typical snap count would be like with Highsmith and with Herbig just to prevent Highsmith from these soft tissue injuries that he continually keeps suffering?
Yeah, and they've all been different, even different parts of the body. It's a shame because 2 weeks ago he was the defensive player of the week. It's not like he's playing at a bad level, but I think what's happening even more so than watching what Alex is doing is that Nick is earning more and more reps, and I think you would see more of a split. I mean, Sawyer's snaps are the ones that obviously they get knocked out, but I also like this three outside linebacker set that they've been running. I think they've run into some consistency with it now. They've found ways to be more effective than they were when they first did it. So if Highsmith, and I'm not sure if he'll be back, but if he would be back, I think he would have similar snap counts to Herbig, and you would see that three linebacker set a lot. I mean, we saw it out there with Sawyer with Highsmith out.
All right, one more for you, Jeff, before you get to concentrating on basketball tonight, and that would be look into your crystal ball. Austin and I just did about the next three games because the Steelers have some tough games. Chicago this week on the road. Then they are home to the Bills, who will have 10 days to prepare. Then they are home or away at the Ravens, who also will have 10 days. Both those teams play on Thursdays versus the Ravens going to be home for three straight games. So they have the Jets, they have the Bengals, and they have the Steelers. So what happens in the next 3 weeks?
They went 2 out of 3. I might be talked into believing that they're going to win a playoff game. If they do anything less than that, then it's status quo for me. I mean, these are like the earlier three game stretch that they had. This is the next big three game stretch that they have. I think Chicago's a winnable game. I guess to me, the jury's still out on them, but man, Buffalo at home, and then to have to go to Baltimore the way they're playing. I know Lamar is back on the injury list, but assuming that he's healthy, I mean, that's going to be a hard game. But if you could get 2 out of 3 of those, and if they would do it, I mean, it's going to depend on Rodgers' health, and it's going to be a matter of that offense getting something going. We're starting to see at least a little bit more consistency from the defense, but, man, the jury's still out on this offense, and it hasn't been trending in the right direction.
Jeff, always appreciate your time. Good luck tonight. We'll see you over the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That is the Hawk Report, brought to you by 5.5% Home Equity Loan Special this month at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. It's now 1:50 almost. Time to check out the Christmas gift store at Lynch Golf Sales in Pine Creek. If you're looking for golf items, good stuff there. What's Cooking is brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And our weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cloudy today, high of 46, low of 34. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group. Limits, it was fun. Have a good day. I know you'll be in tomorrow. Joe will be back with Donnie, and I'll see you next week, but it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a football Friday. Good to see you, Bob. Talk soon.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us. The PM team is next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.